Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Good Monday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny. We are live on 106.7 The Fan on this, the 17th of November, 2025. It is a misery Monday for the Washington Commanders, but it's not here at Nats Park where we're broadcasting live. Big day for the Nationals. They just introduced their brand new 33-year-old manager, Blake Butera. He will be on the show coming up at 3:25 live, and we will talk to the team president of baseball operations, Paul Taboni, on the show today as well about the hiring at 5 o'clock. So if you're an Nats fan who wants some intel on the proceedings today, we've got the new manager, Butera, and the president, Taboni, 3:30 and 5 respectively, from Nats Park live today right here on The Fan. But Danny, we're multitasking.
We are indeed.
Because 6 weeks in a row, the Washington Commanders have come in second. They leveled down. The gauntlet was over. They got to play the JV portion of the schedule yesterday with the equally as inept 3-7 Dolphins. And in Madrid, Miami did everything they could late to get the Commanders the game.
They
didn't want to win that game. But neither did Washington. Someone had to, and the Dolphins accepted the gift that was the overtime interception in field goal range.
Yeah, two inept teams behaving ineptly. Two teams that are not very good, that have no direction and no place to go and aren't good at all, don't do much right, they were examples of that, right? You saw it. You saw wide open things missed. You saw penalties. You saw sabotage. You saw drop punts. Everything under the sun that showed you these two teams belong in the standings exactly where they are. Happened to be that, the Washington came in second due to the terrible overtime moment for Marcus Mariota, but plenty to get into when it comes to that one.
Yeah, I don't know how to feel in the way of defensively they were a lot better, obviously. Some of the changes made by Dan Quinn clearly worked, although I think some of that may have been the level of quarterback play, the fact that the Dolphins aren't as good as the Chiefs or the Seahawks or the Lions or even the Cowboys offensively. But they tackled a lot better. I thought they did some new things in terms of wrinkles with the blitz. We saw a corner blitz off of the slot that we hadn't seen all season.
The Sean Springs Memorial Blitz, baby. We got it.
Got home for a sack on third down. They had three sacks that were drive killers on third down. So that was improvement. That felt good. They played NFL-level defense, which they hadn't done in a month. It was not as easy for Miami to move the football as it has been for their opponents. But at the same time, again, it's a 3-7 team that was coaching as if they wanted draft position. I mean, they're going for fourth downs instead of taking a lead, less than 2 minutes to go. They're running up the gut on fourth and goal a couple times from a yard away against the teeth of Washington's defense. The only thing they even do at a respectable level with size on the inside with Javon Kinlaw is occasionally turn away downhill runs. And yet, the Commanders, based on muffing a punt, based on throwing an interception in overtime, based on penalties at their own goal line a couple times, based on not getting in on a goal to go first and goal from the five, getting to the 40-yard line with the chance to pick up a few yards and kick an easy game winner and electing not to. Ridiculous end of game sequence from this coaching staff. They just couldn't deal with all of the opportunities given to them. So while they didn't get blown out for the first time in 5 weeks, I don't feel better about it. I guess I should, because they played a competitive close game and they went to overtime. But when you played Detroit or Seattle or any of the teams they did like Kansas City and you lose by 20, you kind of go, all right, well, Washington's not that good. Yesterday was one of those, oh, man, Washington's really bad. And I don't know what's better.
It's hard to know exactly, as you said, how to feel. The fact that it was so easy for so often for Miami, like if they ran right, they were getting 15 yards, right? If they ran around that edge where Preston Smith was, it was Devin Achane was comfortable. He ran for over 6 yards a carry. Alec Gordon, who's the bruising straight ahead, no cuts, ran for 5 yards a carry. And that was it with a couple, you know, as you said, and one type situations that they were going for. Guys are open. To me, it was nothing that Washington did well. I appreciated you saw some more zone coverage, I felt like, from Dan Quinn and company. But it was, you know, a ball was thrown to the wrong place, would have been a walk-in touchdown for the Dolphins player. I know part of that is football. Part of that is just kind of, you know, what happens to even good teams every week. But there was nothing yesterday where I'm going, this is high-level execution. This is improvement. I suppose it is.
It was better.
Because they didn't get blown out by a bad team. I mean, they did that to start this streak against Dallas the week after they lost that heartbreaker to Chicago. But I don't feel good. So I'm with you in the sense that I'm irritated about the whole damn thing.
Well, as well you should be. It was better, though. Like, to say that it had nothing to do with execution, I don't think is fair. It was part of the pie. I mean, there are other ingredients. Again, you played the worst quarterback you've played in a month in Tua Tagovailoa. You played the worst team you've played in a month. You played in one of these quirky, strange games overseas in a stadium no one's ever been in to play football, and so strange and weird things happen. Like, all of this is true. But they allowed 3 conversions on third down, which was the third fewest since week 6. They allowed only 142 net passing yards, which was the best they've done this season since week 8. 2 turnovers on downs forced by the defense on the goal line stands was the most they've had since week 6 of 2023, which predates Dan Quinn in D.C. It was a 3-sack game for this defense, which they had not had since week 8. And they had multiple sacks in the first half for the first time since week 5. So the results were all better. You got to give them credit for something. I think it's true, though, to say some of its level of competition. Think about Dan Campbell. He takes over the play calling duties right before they play Washington. They go out and they score 44 points, and everybody's talking about how amazing Dan Campbell is as a play caller.
Yep.
Last week, they play the Eagles, who are playing at a Super Bowl level defensively, elite, upper echelon, top of the sport kind of defense, and they score single-digit points. It's a little bit harder in that situation, right? And so I think quarterback, team you're playing, part of it. Also, offensively, they moved the chains. They stayed on the field. They picked up third downs. They could run the football. They were ahead of the sticks a bunch. So they won time of possession. They dominated in the first half. They had a 33-19 snap discrepancy over Miami in the first half of the game. They out-snapped them by 10. They out-time of possession them by almost 3 minutes. And that's not even counting, you know, the end of the game craziness. But I say all that to say, Danny, that while there were other things, I wanted improvement, I got improvement. So I could feel better about that. But this was the game on the schedule we've been pointing to for a few weeks going, all right, just get through the worst of it and at least you get the Dolphins. You get your win and you go into the bye week and we can have a positive week of radio. By not getting this one, now it's a bye week, so you go 2 more weeks without a game. They're going to be sitting at 8 weeks, 2 full months without feeling a win in their building. That's a hard thing to deal with as a program. That's bad for culture. That's bad for organizational building. 2 months in a row without the feeling of a win.
Absolutely. And it's hard to reinforce your message if it never works, right? Like when you're coaching a kid, you're going, okay, shoot the basketball this way, or this is how we throw, and then it doesn't work for them. It's hard for them to believe you. The same thing happens with pros. Like you're preaching one thing, and you've lost, as you said, every game for 2 months. It's hard to believe in it. I was trying to think about why I don't feel better at all. And I think one of the my sticking points in general with this staff or any staff or with coaching or a level of improvement to me, you're 100% right about the play, obviously, was. They were better against Miami than they'd been in previous weeks. Not enough to beat anybody of import, mind you, but it has been better. The late substitutions, the timeout wasting, the operational error, to me, is still so blood-boiling, so controllable, so simple, and they can't do it. I understand you're not as good when it's when the Mariota drops the ball in the bucket and it's Chris Moore on the other end and not Terry McLaurin. I get that. That's going to happen. You have worse players doing stuff. I can't forgive Zach Ertz jumping on a false start again. Again! That's the veteran! That's the calming force! That's the adult in the room! Can't figure it out. Again, another week of it. I'm sure more veteran rest days to come. The timeout on a first and 10 on their first possession, the squandering of it, the late substitution stuff, I just can't. That thing to me is so controllable, so basic. High school teams do it well. College teams do it well. Pro teams do it. If you can't handle it, you got to quit that no-huddle crap. If it's too complicated for you, do something else. That's the part of it to me. My mind is in a bottle. I'm not even boggled. My mind is in a bottle because of. I understand it's not going to be as good. But that, it's unprofessional. And this is supposed to be a professional outfit. Show me signs of improvement there. And it was as bad this week as it's been.
Yeah, so if we're talking about the entire operation and the team itself and the 10,000-foot view, well, I agree with you. I don't know that this was a step forward. In fact, I would say that categorically it was not. I was talking specifically about the defense.
No, that's fair. You're right.
The story all week was that the defense was a disaster, and Joe Witt had been removed of his play-calling duties, and he was no longer the coordinator, and Dan Witt, Quinn was taking over. And we all said, well, the Witt to Quinn jump isn't really going to mean much. The personnel's still a problem. And I think for what it's worth, while, again, there are variables and some context that needs to be acknowledged, they did some better things better on defense.
Yes?
But as a team, I feel the worst about the program, the worst that I have all season, honestly, because this is not getting blown out by an offense that's a juggernaut with Dallas or the gauntlet of the last three that were scheduled L's against an injury-ravaged team. It's a bad Dolphins team that did a lot of things to keep you in the game, that tried their best. They're not tanking by any means, but the competitive portion of their season is over, and I don't think Mike McDaniel coached in that game like a guy that desperately had to win. It was okay for them. They were going to play 110% and do everything they could snap to snap to win the game, but we're going to go for a 4th-and-1, and if we don't get it, fine, because we're 3-7. They did that kind of stuff all day long.
They did.
And Washington could not take advantage over and over and over again. But, yeah, when you lose to a 3-win team that plays badly and tries to give you the game multiple times, there's no reason you should feel better about the direction of this thing necessarily. I completely agree with that. You know, offensively, they ran the ball. That was good to see because they haven't been able to do that for the majority of the last month. They're starting to come out of those doldrums, I think. Chris Rodriguez was excellent, 5 yards per carry. That 17-yard run he had off left tackle where he bounces it right back into guard with really good vision and that almost Bill-like jump cut at his size, was ultra-impressive. He ends up on 15 attempts leading the team in rushes and yards. Mariota had a 44-yard run in this game on a 3rd-and-9 where it looked like they were destined to punt. And believe it or not, he's got the 4 longest runs of the season at quarterback for Washington.
That is wild.
Jaden Daniels' longest run is 18. Mariota's gone for 44. He's got a run over 30, and then he's got 2 at 22. But that was a big play for them. And as you said, the receiving position ravaged by injuries. It's too much Chris Moore. Jacoby Jones with a whip route. Ended the game, gets him 25 yards. But I thought this was the best we saw Deebo Samuel. 7 for 74 and a touchdown. So there were these encouraging signs, but just loser plays. Punt,
yep.
Muffed. You're getting the ball back with 4 minutes to go win the football game. Last year, they field that punt. They drive down the field and they win over and over and over again. I hadn't even finished tweeting about what an amazing defensive stand it was, how big the Von Miller sack was, one of the biggest defensive moments of the season. When the Dolphins got the ball, you were sure they were going to go take the lead. But the defense finally stood up. Dan Quinn was like running around on the field, high-fiving people and bear-hugging people and tackling random dudes I've never seen on camera. And next thing you know, Mikey Sanders still puts the ball on the ground. It's just a loser team right now. You know, Marcus Mariota, first play of overtime. You go to overtime. You get the ball first. You're going to go march and go down the field against this pretty pedestrian defense that somehow you've only scored 13 points against. Two missed field goals, loser plays, and you throw a pick right away. It's just a bad team. That's what they are. I don't take pride in saying it. I don't enjoy saying it. But this is a bad football team.
And they played one. And they played a bad football team that was mirroring them in terms of missed opportunities and the like. They're probably saying the same on Miami radio this morning. But Washington out-batted them, right? That's all it was. It was a mistake that from Mariota that I frankly wouldn't expect him to make. But that's kind of what happens when you're bad. You find a way to settle, right? It's like that water table. You find a way to get down to that level where the water's ultimately going to go. A player that you would count on otherwise, again, Zach Ertz, who it sounds like I'm picking on, I suppose I am, that play where he goes in motion, arrows a little bit like he's heading towards the corner, uses his big frame to then swipe across the face of the defender for that box out. They scored against Atlanta that way. They scored against Detroit in the playoffs that way. That's your bread and butter. You can count on that, oh, crap, he fell down. When you're bad, it's what happens. It's that snowball effect, to your point.
That play is their go-to. Bread and butter is the right way to put it. They have used that play on the goal line over and over and over and over and over again. It's their easy button.
Yep.
It's the Cliff Kingsbury doesn't have to worry because we got that one in the back pocket.
I mean, it's like stealing, honestly.
And then he falls over.
A defender in that space cannot – you can't do anything. You either go through him for a pass interference penalty or you're trailing him and it's a touchdown.
I will say, I guess, if you're looking for reasons to feel better after getting blown out for a month in a row and then taking a game to overtime and losing a sixth straight, a seventh out of eight, I thought finally we did see some coaching adjustments. You and I have been demanding, not even asking for, but imploring and begging to do something different. Try something. I still don't get enough under center offense, but there was a fourth and one where Washington goes under center and does their own version of like a spider 2-wide banana, and they get a play action, wide open tight end, coming out of the backfield, Colson Yankoff to move the chains. That was in minus territory.
Yes, it was.
Which tip of the cap to Dan Quinn. Last year, they routinely on fourth and short would go for first downs, even shy of midfield. They haven't done it as much this year. But to his credit, they did yesterday. They moved the sticks. They go get a field goal and tie the game early. I thought that was big. But Brandon Coleman's used in this jumbo look yesterday as an extra tackle. He mauled people. I just went back and rewatched the game before the Blake Butera presser. We're out here at Nats Park today, and the new manager of the Nats will join us at 3:30. The president of baseball ops, Paul Taboni, is going to stop by at 5, so we're excited to talk to those guys. But this morning, before I came over here, I was rewatching the game. Brandon Coleman was a pile mover. He was a people mover, like at an airport, man. He was pushing people around. Where has that been? I know they've done some three-tackle things, and they've had other players doing it, but we've been banging our heads against the wall, you and I, for a month going, why can't they run the ball? What else can they try? Why don't they go with some heavier looks and formations to get the pass game open? They're starting to do these types of things. And if we're giving them credit for a couple tweaks on defense, blitzing a little more from the corner position or doing some more exotic things the Dolphins hadn't seen, getting outside the box, I think on offense there are a few wrinkles like that that I like to get the run game going. It's 7 weeks too late.
Yeah.
But I finally got them going against type and saying, all right, this isn't working. Let's try something else.
I was texting you guys yesterday about this where I find it they're in a can't-win position with me. I'm not even talking about football.
Yeah, you're
games.
A lot of fun during games, well, I got to say.
I get that. I understand they're in a can't-win position. In general, you can make your joke because they haven't won in a month and a half.
But you, when they win, you're mad.
Yes.
Because it's empty calorie wins. And when they lose, you're mad because it makes you angry and you're sad and they're not good enough.
Right.
And so when they make an explosive play, you're angry about it for some reason. But if they don't convert, you're mad about it. So we've reached that point of the offseason with you.
Yeah.
I guess that's a slip up.
I would love the offseason right. to be right now. But right. I'm sitting there watching Chris Rodriguez run with authority, rip off stuff. And I'm going, on your roster, available for so many weeks, so readily available for you. And it's like, well, I guess once the season's down the drain, now we'll give it a shot. I want my desperation. I wanted that a month ago when they couldn't run the football. Let's try that. I mean, listen, when nothing's working, you don't get to just stick with it, right? Again, my barometer now, having seen it up close and personal, and a game viewed by the Detroit Lions who have aspirations of greatness. Now, granted, they're 6-4. They got their own struggles. But a three-point loss where they scored 24 points against Minnesota. Dan Campbell goes, "We got to do something, man. This is unacceptable. I need to act dramatically and drastically to demonstrate something." Now, you could say he panicked, whatever you want to say. I don't care. When it's not working, our not working is different than their not working. Our not working is you can't manage a loud clap to get out of the huddle. Their not working is they scored 24 points against a division rival in a game they should have won. Our disaster was happening in real time, and it took the season being over for them to go, "Let's try Chris Rodriguez a couple times off tackle to see if that works." And then when it does, it's blood boiling to me because you had access to that player for a long time. If you'd exhausted everything, if you tried throwing the ball to Ben Sinnott once, if you tried some sort of different they tried some zone this week, and it was, dear Lord, guys aren't running free as often. Great. It's so irritating. And again, Part of it, there's nothing they can do for me.
But I would also say this.
I'm so mad.
The stuff you're calling for worked more this week, but they have done some of this with less success recently. Like, it's not like Chris Rodriguez hasn't gotten a carry in a month. I mean, Rodriguez, before he got hurt last week, was getting more carries than Bill.
Well, we didn't see Bill for three quarters of the game yesterday. Like, I'm saying, when you're after that Dallas loss, where the worst defense in the world shoved it on you, where's my overhaul? Where's my, oh, my God, panic, change, fix it? And we didn't see it until, again, the season was over.
Yeah. I mean, you go back to 3 weeks ago against Seattle when they got bludgeoned by 24. Chris Rodriguez tied for the team high with 12 carries and had 65 yards and a touchdown. So, again, I'm not sure that they did anything in that way crazy different yesterday. I think he just looked better and had more success in a more competitive game. But I get your larger point, which is too little too late, man. You rammed your head against the wall for a bunch of weeks, and you kept complaining that your head was hurting. What I want to do is open up the phones at 800-636-1067 for you guys next. And I want to know, first of all, just your reactions from yesterday, your takeaways from the game. But how did that one feel for you comparative to the month beforehand that precluded it, where Washington was getting blown out by really good teams? Because this was a bad team that didn't play a great game, that in fact played a bad game and late in the game tried to give you the game, and you still, based on missed kicks, based on muffing a punt on special teams, you know, based on not converting at the goal line, like all three phases played a part in this thing, you couldn't find a way to win it. 800-636-1067 is the number today. You can join us on Grant and Danny. We are live at Nats Park in the Terra Club. We're going to be talking to new manager Blake Butera at 325 and Paul Taboni, the president of baseball ops for the Nats, at 5 o'clock right here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. We are live at Nationals Park today. The introduction of new manager Blake Butera took place just before we went on the air. He's going to join our show coming up in about an hour at 3:25, and we'll talk to the man who hired him, the president of baseball operations, Paul Toboni, at 5 o'clock. So, Nats fans, you will want to gather around as the show continues today here on G&D. Right now, though, we have opened up the phones for you. In our first hour at 800-636-1067 for your reactions to yesterday's Commanders-Dolphins game, a 16-13 overtime loss where Washington had all the chances to win and couldn't do it. Here are some of the areas where I look at the Dolphins and I go, not only are they bad, but they played bad. Like, it's one thing if you go, you played a 3-7 Miami team, but two of the last 3 weeks they've scored over 30 points and they actually are a lot better than their record right now. That might have been the case if they came out and they were humming on offense and flying around on defense and you ran into a buzzsaw and got beat handily. Didn't happen yesterday. Some of the things I wrote down watching the game. Playing a bad team, fortuitous moments where if the streak was going to end, yesterday was the right time for it to end. There was a delay of game the Dolphins had before fourth and a foot on their first drive when they were moving with ease against Washington. They take a delay of game, which I don't know how Tua, a veteran quarterback, allows that to happen. And then they have to kick that field goal. They leave 4 points on the field.
Yep.
Right there. And you go, bad team playing badly. Tua misses an open touchdown to Greg Dulcich, the tight end, on 2nd and 2 from the 3-yard line on the second drive.
I don't know if he threw it the wrong place, or the tight end went to the wrong place, but it was a, again, bad team behaving badly. It was a miss. Somebody missed something.
Pitch and catch that's a touchdown in the previous 3 games in the gauntlet.
Yep.
And again, they leave 4 points on the field because they take a sack on the ensuing play. Really, really nice play by Jacob Martin, by the way, who's got 4.5 on the year. They kick a field goal. Dolphins are bad. They're playing badly. There was a phantom PI call, which worked out beautifully in Washington's favor. And I was glad that it did because, you know, the Commanders are due some of these breaks, frankly, in a year where they're not getting a lot of them. But on 3rd and a mile, or right before 3rd and a mile, so 2nd and long, from their own goal line, basically, Debo's running that dig route, and they say that he's interfered with when he basically was not touched. And the throw was 10 feet over his head. It was probably the second worst pass interference call of the day.
It's a pretty notable one later.
If you count Sunday Night Football, Eagles-Lions,
yep,
also pretty bad. But that's one of those things where you go, all right, you're getting some breaks here. They would go on to get points on that drive when they would have probably had to punt on 3rd and a mile from the shadow of their own goalpost. How about the end of the half where Dan Quinn makes the – well, before I get to Dan Quinn – Mike McDaniel makes the inexplicable decision. Instead of Washington sending out its field goal team on 4th and 8, he actually takes a 10-yard penalty and gives them another shot to score a touchdown on 3rd and 18 right before the half. You remember that?
I do.
It was a 3rd and 8. There were 2 penalties on the offense. I think one of them was an OPI. So they move him back 10 yards, 3rd and 18. But the whole sequence leading up to that at the end of the half was bad, where Washington was allowing crazy amounts of time to go off the clock. Again, bad team playing badly. Then you had the Dolphins on a check down to Jeremy McNichols on a 3rd and 10 with 2 guys in position to tackle him. Basically splits right through him. They're flat-footed. They can't make the tackle. A good team rallies there and does. You had a 2nd down drop from Jalen Waddle on a drive right before the sack with 4 minutes and 20 seconds to go where they punted the ball back to Washington. Now, Sanders still put it on the ground, and the Dolphins got it back. So it was as if they had just made one big explosive offensive play to get down the field. They would eventually go for a 4th down and not get it anyway. So that was part of the no, you take it part of the game.
Right.
But that's a bad team doing bad things with Waddle dropping a pass would have set up a 3rd and very, very short. The Dolphins don't take a lead under 2 to go, and instead of kicking a field goal to go up 3, go for it and call a downhill run shoving match with everybody in tight. And then the last thing I'll put in my list of what were the Dolphins doing yesterday sequences, they call a timeout on a 2nd and 9 with 1:10 to go. Now, someone could say, well, the Dolphins wanted the ball back. You do that on 3rd down. You don't normally do that on 2nd down on when a team just got a couple yards and has 2 downs to get 8 yards, basically. But there were just so many things where I'm going, Mike McDaniel.
What are you doing here, guy?
Are you trying to get fired? And yet the Commanders would out-ridiculous them.
Well, that not going for the field goal for Miami there at the end, I would have gotten that if this were last year's Washington football, gentlemen. It's not. It's the group that couldn't move the ball against you real well. Well, they moved it okay. That hadn't scored. Hadn't demonstrated the ability to score. Hadn't demonstrated that they were going to, you know, do anything other than maybe settle for a field goal. But if you're going, I'm playing Mahomes or I'm playing Brady in his prime or I'm playing some elite offense, I can't settle for 3 because I'll lose.
Right.
Too much time left on the clock. I got to go for a touchdown. I don't think you had to yesterday, but you know that you live and die with your aggressiveness and for a team, it's got nothing to lose at 3-7.
But do you think at 6-4 or 7-3 he does that? I think it was one of these games where you're bad, your record stinks, you're probably getting fired, and you're like, ah, whatever. It felt like an whatever.
It felt ah, whatever-y. And I've ah, whatever.
But I don't want to ah, whatever back and forth with them.
No,
I'm not about to get fired. I'm Dan right. Quinn. You know, I'm not playing out the string of this terrible season while I'm doing that. That doesn't matter because I've got a lot of things, moving parts here that will matter with my regime going forward as they probably have to rearrange all the chairs. Here are the things I wrote down in terms of the Commanders shooting themselves in the foot. 4th and 2 from the 3. They're going for it in the first half. Chris Rodriguez, false start behind Marcus Mariota. They have to settle for a field goal. You leave 4 points potentially on the field there. Of course, Matt Gay misses 2 field goals in the game, including from 51. But the play before that, don't forget, Marcus Mariota took a sack.
Bad.
You can't take a sack in that area of the field.
Nope.
When you got a kicker who's quite literally 50-50 from beyond 50, you can't take a sack to turn what would be a mid-40s field goal into 51. That play gets forgotten. What else did I write down here? Multiple false starts on a drive that started near their own goal line where they would have 1 step forward, 2 steps back, and it was 2nd and 15, then it's 3rd and really long, and they got to check it down. Zach Ertz had one of them, by the way.
Yep, infuriating me. Again, that's another one for the veteran. Brandon Coleman doing it. He hadn't played a whole lot. Again, I'm not excusing it because, again, you have to learn that. I went to my buddy's house this weekend. His son's in 7th grade. That's when you learn it. Don't false start. If we go on 2, it means don't move on the first one. Brandon Coleman doesn't play a ton. Had a false start on that drive, too. But, yeah, but Ertz, again, the veteran. Unbelievable.
The Sanders still fumble on a punt return where another injury. I mean, they just keep piling up. But that should be Jalen Lane, who's shorthanded back there. And it wasn't. It was Sanders still, who hadn't done it much in the NFL, in a stadium that is abnormal for a lot of reasons overseas. And he can't field the punt. And then you've got the 1st and goal from the 5, where they end up not getting any points. Killed me. 8 minutes to play in a 13-13 game. What does the math say is your chance of winning that game, do you think? You're at the 5-yard line.
It's got to be pretty high.
It's a 13-all game. There's 8 minutes to go, and you've got a 1st and goal. And knowing that they ended up going on 4th down, you've got 4 plays to get 5 yards. Now, I think they knew all along they were going to go, and they weren't kicking a field goal based on play calling.
Uh-huh.
Because they ran it 3 straight plays. Cliff went, and they were all downhill, kind of between the tackles. But Cliff tried to slam it up in there with Rodriguez, and McNichols got one of them. 1st down, 2nd down, 3rd down. So then 4th and goal from a yard and a half out is where they try that little arrow route thing you talked about where Ertz goes out and bends it back in. That works all the time, and he slips and falls. It's bad luck. I'm not even saying it was a bad idea. If you go run, run, run with Ertz in your back pocket, that's probably not a terrible idea. Didn't work. And so first and goal from the five in a tie game with eight to play is still tied, and the other team gets the ball back. Almost as bad as after the 25-yard completion at the end of the game when you're first and 10 from the opponent's 40 with 50 seconds to play. Again, what is the percentage chance you win that game right
there? It's high.
You need 5 yards to have a field goal, even for your kicker who struggles from there, where you've got a 53-54% chance of winning the football game.
Yeah, it looked like one of those, okay, hey, what a great building moment where they're back in the shadow of their own goal line. Right, Mariota, the Deebo Samuel for 28 yards to get out of there.
What in the hell was the call on the next play? I cannot believe that. He gets to the 32-yard line. I think technically they said it was 28 to the 31.
Yeah.
So it would be first and 10 from their own 31 with like 50-some seconds left, right? What it 105?
Buck 16.
Buck 16, okay. With 116 to go there, they run the football. They have no timeouts. There is a minute remaining. And you need to get down the field to get points. I don't think I've ever seen a team run it there when they just got a first down. If you need one or two and you just want to move the chains and make sure that, you know, the fourth down isn't coming up to give the ball back, sure, call a run. That's not what happened.
So the run there is on the first play for a lot of teams where you're so backed up and you're going, I don't want to throw the ball, have it be incomplete and stop the clock. I might hand it off
at your own goal line just to make so there's no safety.
And that's my point. Yeah. Against maybe a soft prevent type coverage, maybe I get a nice little burst, and then I can play my hurry up.
Bro, the 28-yarder.
The second play after the 28-yarder, because they came out, I gave Dan Quinn and company credit.
Yeah.
They came out guns blazing.
It's aggressive.
Fine. It's aggressive.
And it works. You get this big square into Deebo in the middle of the field flat-footed. He turns and burns and runs through a guy. So now you're up to the 31-32-yard line, and you're going, holy shnikes, they're actually going to go get points and win this thing. And then they run the ball with no timeouts, and it's not like they were in a hurry either. What's weirder than their run was the Dolphins' timeout after that. This is where I can't believe the end of this game. Like, I want to sit down with a grown-up, like a real coach from another team, like a McVay or one of these guys, and go, what the hell is this sequence? What is happening here?
Why did they?
The run is dumb. The Dolphins burning the timeout is dumb. Then, by the way, after the timeout, look at that next play on your sheet there. It's pretty fun.
Marcus Mariota, pass short left to Zach Ertz for 3 yards.
It's a quick little throw to Ertz, which happens. Ertz goes to the ground, chooses to go to the ground inbounds quickly to, like, save time. Again, you have no timeouts. The Dolphins burn another one. So now, by mismanaging this play calling and time, you have a third and six coming up, I think it was, where the Dolphins have used two timeouts, and if you're incomplete, they get the ball back with time to try to go win it. You luck box your way into. Great route by Jacoby Jones. It all works out. Really good call even by Kingsbury to get that half the field free with that little whip route. And you get 25 yards and you go, whoopsie-daisy, the Dolphins are terrible. We're going to win it anyway. Because now it's first and 10 from the 40. And that's where 3 plays later, you've got all of 2 yards. The broadcasters are talking like a 56-yard field goal is easy. They're watching the rest of the NFL. They're not watching Washington.
No, they don't watch this one.
They're like, oh, they're in field goal range. Says who? Who's in field goal range? Brandon Aubrey? I'll tell you who's not in field goal range. Matt Gay.
Mm-mm.
But they're taking deep shots. I mean, they ran the ball on first down. Correct. Run it again. Get 2 or 3 more. Run it again. Get 4 or 5 more. See what the Bears did on the precipice of field goal range trying to win it yesterday. Run it 3 times. Run clock down and get. You're not playing for a chunk there. You're playing for 7. You're playing to get to a 49-yard field goal. Uh-uh. Not these guys. They wanted it all. I could not understand that sequence. It was unbelievable. Weirdly, they lost.
I can't believe that.
Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. How'd you feel about yesterday after a month of uncompetitive games? Washington goes to OT, but the losing streak climbs to 6. You're listening to the Fan.
The cat sat on the mat.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Live from Nats Park, we're Grant and Danny on the Fan. If you're wondering, why are you at Nats Park on November 17th? Well, you missed a pretty fun afternoon. Blake Butera was introduced by the Nationals today as their brand new manager. The 33-year-old youngest skipper in baseball is going to join us coming up at 3:25 right here on the Fan. That's a little over a half hour from right now. We'll also talk with the guy who hired him, Paul Toboni, today at 5 p.m. right here on G&D. So make sure you are either in the car and listening, come on back to hear those convos, or podcast them when we are done this evening. Trying to make sense of the Commanders' loss to the Dolphins yesterday. That's 6 in a row, Danny. It's 7 of 8. And whatever you thought the floor was for this ceiling, they are breaking through it and finding lower ground.
Yeah, you never know where rock bottom is. The rock is literally around the corner. They bookended the 4 horrendous losses, so they didn't set the record for futility in terms of double-digit 20-some-point losses.
I'm taking way more pride in that than I should, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, I was super worried that somehow, some way, Devin Achane would go ham sandwich and Jalen Waddle would go nutso-butso, and then next thing you know, they're going to lose by 23, and they're – tied for the all-time record in futility.
Yeah, so they bookended the disastrous stretch with just 2 regular losses. Doesn't feel much better, though.
Let's go to Gibbs in Connecticut, listening on the Odyssey app, streaming us. It's free and available wherever you are. You can pause and rewind the show. Gibbs, what's up, buddy? How are you?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Hey, man.
So my main problem right now is all the deposits that Dan Quinn had last year, NFC title game, winning by 40 against the Cardinals, all the great stuff, that is gone. So what I am watching these past few weeks, leaving JD when we're down by 30, up by 30, that's not happening, down by 30.
Did you say up by 30?
That's adorable.
Yeah,
that,
silly goose. Wow. Remember what, would you get in a time machine and go back to 2024, you silly goose, you?
I was off on that one. Playing for a field goal from 50-plus with Matt Gay, what are we doing? I was sitting there on my couch 2,000, 3,000 miles away, knowing he was going to miss that kick. Everyone knew he was going to miss that kick. The botched timeout, not practicing our veterans, and they can't stay on sides ever.
Ever.
It's ridiculous. I knew it was going to happen. The second it happened, I went Ryan Twitter, one refresh, there was Danny. He's jumping off sides. Because it happens all the time, and people have been saying it, and it's just incompetence. We look like the Saints and the Titans, and we're probably going to pick right with them when the draft comes.
God willing, by the way. That would be amazing.
Seriously.
If we're in the top 3 to 5, let's do that. Yeah, right now, yep. Washington has the 7th pick in the draft. Thank you for the call, buddy. Much appreciated. But yeah, they're up to number 7. Now, they didn't get as much help as I would have liked in some of the out-of-town scoreboard games yesterday to climb higher up on the draft board, but that's certainly where they are at this point. And shtick aside, I'm watching the game in the basement with the wife. The kids are running around doing their thing yesterday. And while they're getting ready to eventually kick this 56-yarder, two things are happening. One, the broadcast crew is over-talking about how they're in field goal range and talking as if they're about to win the game. And this is not like a 39-yard field goal where we're just being cynical fans.
Right, it's not the chip shot.
It's 56, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the league is now 56 is the new 46, but know your audience, like know the team you're talking about. You've already seen this guy push a 51-yarder, but my wife kept saying, she knew.
She knew.
Why are they acting like kicking a 56-yarder for him is easy? And she quite literally kept saying, he's going to miss it.
Yeah, I'm doing the Michael Scott gift. Thank you, right?
She's literally like, if they don't get more yards, he has no chance at this.
Yeah.
But how does she know that? Mm-hmm. And no one – is Cliff in his headset going, hey, bud, we need 5. Like, we're not looking for Chris Moore deep. And as funny as it is to say how bad of a decision it felt like it was to go for it all, the throw was great.
It's his best throw of the day, probably.
It's in his damn hand, and he can't pull it in. Last year, you know what happens? Chris Moore makes an outrageous catch.
Well, last year, Terry McLaurin makes the catch and stands up and goes, peekaboo, I'm Scary Terry. But that's not this year.
Yeah, rips his mask off. No, but in Chris Moore.
Yeah.
In last year, dropped into 2024. He makes a catch and then can't be tackled and, like, walks on his hands into the end zone as a guy's, like, trying to pull him. And then, like, fireworks go off. And Jaden Daniels, like, cartwheels all the way down the field and does a big somersault and lands on the goal line. And then we all throw a party and like, break out kazoos and stuff like it's New Year's Eve. That's 2024. Instead, Chris Moore just dropped it. And then you miss a field goal. And then you go to overtime. And then you throw an interception. And then you lose a 6th straight game. But they were just so casual about it. They were just so sure they were about to hit the field goal. Grant and Danny on the Fan, live from Nationals Park. Jay Gruden, who normally joins us at 5 but is traveling today, will hop on the show next. And remember, Nat skipper Blake Butera coming up in about 30 minutes right here on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer.
Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.